Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Kathleen, I have to tell you something exciting that I'm doing in the new house.
Oh, tell me.
So I ordered this book called Practical Black Magic, How to Hex and Curse Your Enemies.
Oh.
And I don't believe in black magic.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe in it, but I believe it's dangerous.
Very dangerous. You know, my mom sort of has, she freaks out sometimes when you talk about magic on this podcast.
Yeah.
And then she tells me she's worried for you.
Look, I don't do black magic. I do white magic and I do gray magic.
I keep telling her, you're a good witch. You're not a bad witch.
So I don't believe that doing black magic is a good idea.
Yeah.
However,
still interested in it.
Still fascinating. Yeah. And the book is funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's a funny title. Uh-huh. Whatever. Anyway, so what I'm doing is I'm going to order a break glass in case of emergency case, like a red one where you would put a hatchet.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm going to mount it in our library in the new house.
Yes.
And I'm going to put this book in that. And so you only break that glass and read the black magic book if it's an emergency.
Okay. I've been thinking about like things that you need to have in your house.
Yeah.
You could, Bethany, actually, because you're going to have so much space in your new house.
Yeah.
You could get yourself like a miter saw.
Yeah.
You could design some frames and then buy a bunch of these books and sell that as like a packaged item.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Right? Because there's definitely a market for that. You get some creative wallpaper, you know, to put in the shadow box behind the book.
Yeah.
It's a really good idea.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a great idea, actually. Yeah. And I'm really excited to do it because I'm excited to be with someone who is just as off as I am.
You guys are soulmates.
Yeah, so we can like, there's a lot of fun things we want to do. We are disappointed because do you remember when Framebridge was partnered with us and
yes.
I ordered a 72-inch tall photograph matted and framed of Dennis and me looking severe holding skulls?
Yes, your portrait.
Yes, and at the bottom of the matting in Latin, it said blood makes the grass grow, kill. So we were excited to place that over the mantle of the fireplace in this new home.
Oh.
But the frame is too tall. We ordered it too big and
no.
It won't fit.
So maybe you need to put it, I don't know, like on the front door or something.
I think we're going to have to put it on the front door.
I'm so excited to come over with my tool belt and my fishing vest full of nuts and bolts and screws and just help you build stuff in your new house.
It's going to be, I am so excited. There is a room that I can do my projects in.
Yes.
That has like doors that open to outside. So if I'm sanding things, it can be ventilated. If I'm spray painting things, it can be ventilated.
Yeah.
It is easier to get to my aerial class from upstate New York than it is from my apartment in Manhattan.
No, it isn't.
It is insane.
I would like to let you know that I Googled your address and you have a Trader Joe's nearby.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
The nearest Target is 18 minutes away.
Get out of here. Well, you have to go to another state to get to Whole Foods.
Fine.
I checked that for you. So.
I think, doesn't Whole Foods have a BMI thing where like if you have a low BMI, they pay you more, you get like a bonus or something?
Wait. Are
the company's not great.
Wait.
Whole Foods.
Are you talking about like if you work for Whole Foods and you have a low BMI, you get a discount
BMI
on your
bonus
on your healthcare?
Those who participate in and satisfy the requirements of Whole Foods' healthy discount program are eligible for an additional 10% off if they are able to maintain low levels of cholesterol and blood pressure as well as a BMI below 24.
Get the fuck out of here. That makes me so mad.
By the way, the BMI is a skewed and incorrect value system.
It is,
so it's like not accurate.
Your BMI means absolute shit.
Yeah.
Even at my thinnest, my BMI was still teeter-tottering on like, you know, maybe overweight.
Yeah. And the BMI was established for life insurance claims.
Oh,
so it was only based on people who could afford life insurance, which at that time was mostly men who were mostly white. It's insane. So the fact that Whole Foods like subscribes to this
that
is crazy.
That makes me so upset because I really do like shopping there. It's the only place where I can find a really good quality wild salmon that's fresh and not frozen.
Jeez.
And that is the most hoity-toity thing that has ever come out of my mouth. But I don't know. I've definitely said like shittier hoity-toity
things. You talk about your au pair like all the time growing up.
My au pair, my Irish au pair, the first one I ever had, she's been trolling me on Instagram about abortions.
Does she? Why?
And about the lives that start in the womb and the buckets of babies that get poured out.
What?
I can't. I know. We try not to get political on this podcast because we want to keep things light and happy.
Yeah, moving forward, we're just trying to be light and happy.
Yeah, we're a break from your everyday life. But anyway, she's trolling me.
Wow. I think it's. You're a pair.
Listen, if anybody follows me on Instagram and you see her commenting, troll her back. Her name is
So, Kathleen, walking in this morning, did you drive? Did you take a cab? How'd you get here?
I took an Uber.
Did you feel how warm it is out? Did you feel the 80% humidity that it is today?
Oh, yes, Bethany. Did I ever? Because I'm carrying around my extra large stick of Mega Babe Thigh Rescue anti-chafing stick with me today. And I don't care who sees me. Yeah. I'm going to stop every three blocks, lift up my dress, and reapply.
I see your Mega Babe balm, and I raise you.
Yes.
Neck fan?
What is that? That's not headphones?
Nope. It's a neck fan that sits around your neck.
Yeah.
And blows air into you.
Wait a minute.
And it's, do you want to try it?
I want to try it. Yeah, hang on. Pass it over the table.
It's wonderful. Now, it doesn't work so well aesthetically if you're also wearing headphones, which I am.
This is amazing.
I know.
Wait a minute.
I know.
Bethany.
So a taste bud quoted me about it.
Oh, because they know you run hot?
They know I run hot. And I want to, the only problem is it's a tickle out, but I want to shout the taste bud out because I ordered it from the taste bud's recommendation.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. It takes the edge off. You're never going to feel cold because of it.
Yeah.
Lee, shout out to Lee.
Oh.
Who said, Bethany, what about this neck fan? No lanyard. And I was like, thank you.
Did you get it on Amazon?
I did, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's okay. Sometimes it's necessary. Will you include the link in the show notes, please?
I sure will.
Yeah.
I sure will.
I have to ask you, have you paired it yet? You know those things that we had when we went to the Grand Canyon? They were those neckties, like an outdoorsy ascot.
Yeah, aren't they called something weird like bulbers or something? I don't know. You get them wet and you shake them and you put them around your neck.
They're all these like little, I don't know, silicone balls that hold water for a very long time. I actually think it's the same silicone balls that, you know, my mom likes to buy these. I think old ladies in general love to buy these. You buy them at the supermarket and it's that like glass with those silicone balls that soak up humidity in a room.
Wait, is that what those do?
Yeah.
I never knew what those did.
Yeah, they do. They soak up humidity. So my mom has them in basically every room in the house.
Oh, God, I think I just thought they were soap.
No. And so I think that is what's in those like outdoor ascots that hold cold water. And you should pair it. That's, you probably threw yours away.
No, I still have it.
Okay, there you go. So soak it in ice cold water. Pair it with that outdoor fan.
That's a great idea.
There you go.
That's a great idea.
It's literally air conditioning. Wasn't it expensive?
No.
Was it like $50 or less?
Less.
Oh, good. That's good.
I'm going to look at my orders. I'm going to tell you exactly how much this was. This is not an ad for this thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know exactly what it's called. There's my toe ring that I ordered. There's the popcorn. Dennis loves popcorn.
How vintage of you, a toe ring.
Oh, my God. I love toe rings. It was $40.27.
Actually, that's not that bad. You know, Neil runs hot because of the MS. So maybe I'm going to buy him one of these.
Yeah. I'll send you the link right now. So here's the other thing. Speaking of toe rings.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend the other day, one of my aerial friends, and I have toe rings. My aerial instructor wears toe rings. And
you guys are so crunchy.
Super crunchy.
Yeah.
And I said to this friend, I'll call her out. It's Joanna. I said, she was like, I can't wear toe rings. And I said, why not? And she said, my parents always said that girls who wear toe rings are sluts.
Yeah, they are. No, they're right. You know, I called you and your aerial instructor crunchy because you're not from New Jersey. But really, the only people that wear toe rings are crunchy people and people from New Jersey.
It's so funny. And then she said, you know, I never thought about it until I said it out loud how stupid that is. Because it's those thoughts that you just get ingrained in your head that you didn't realize. I told her I feel the same way. I just assumed people who wear ankle bracelets are trashy.
Trashy.
Well, but they're not.
Toe rings are trashy too.
No, they're not.
Yeah, my mom used to call those girls hard. There was a girl, a very nice, perfectly normal girl that lived around the corner from me. But, you know, she had like a belly button ring, which you used to have, Bethany.
Sure did.
So maybe you're actually a secret trash and you don't know it.
Apparently, I'm just trash.
You're a trashy girl. She had a belly button ring and like toe rings and that kind of stuff. And her hair was black. And my mom used to say, Elizabeth is hard.
Bombas' mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you're also giving to someone in need.
Bombas designs their socks, their shirts, and their underwear to be clothes that you cannot wait to put on every single day.
No matter what it is that they make, it is soft, it is seamless, it is tagless, and it has a really nice, cozy feel. Like, they're famous for their socks. That's how we got to know them.
Yeah.
Their socks don't have a seam along the toe line, so you're not going to get calluses. And there's this webbing that's kind of snug around the arch of your foot, so it supports your foot. But now they make things like t-shirts and underwear, and all of it has the same high quality and soft feel.
In my best friend's group chat the other day, we were talking about, where do you buy your cotton underwear?
Yeah.
Because I need a new underwear. And my friend Whitney is like, listen, I get my underwear at Bombas.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, girl, I have a code for that. I'm going to use my own code. She says that she swears up and down that Bombas is her favorite cotton underwear.
It's the best. And did you know that socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the three most requested clothing items at homeless shelters? So that's why Bombas donates one for every item you buy. And so far, Bombas customers like you have helped donate over 50 million items of essential clothing.
We love Bombas. We want you to love Bombas as much as we do. So go to bombas.com/taste and get 20% off of your first purchase.
That's bombas.com/taste for 20% off to get the clothing that Kathleen and I are both obsessed with.
Bombas.com/taste.
Wait, I really would love to know what your mom thinks of me.
No, my mom loves you. My mom thinks you're the most beautiful human.
She's worried about my magic, and I'm wearing toe rings, so I'm hard.
She's worried about your magic because she lets Jesus interfere with her life.
Oh, you know what? Here's the thing that she should know about.
Yeah.
There are Christian witches. Like, being a witch is not a religion.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a practice.
Oh.
And so you can be a Christian witch. There's like books on like... it's just whoever you talk to to help you do this thing.
Okay, so her birthday's coming out. Now I know what I'm getting her for her birthday this year.
Absolutely.
A book on Christian witches.
Did you like a necklace that says like, I'm a witch for Christ? I bet she'll love it.
Jews for Christ.
Jews for Jesus. Isn't that a real thing?
Yeah, no, Jews for Jesus is a thing. And my mom's friend, who I was having this like really long conversation with about Judaism, and I said in front of her, I think if I had to choose a religion, it would be Judaism. Like if Neil was like, I'm going to start practicing and I would like you to convert, I'd be like, yeah, no problem.
Absolutely.
And my mom nearly fell off her chair.
Really?
And then her best friend says, well, I think if I had to choose, I would be Jews for Jesus.
And just look at that.
I know.
I'm looking up witch for Christ necklaces.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they make them.
That's really exciting. Do they sell them at Costco? Because I might be able to sell her on them if they sell them at Costco.
You know what? I found one on Zazzle. It's a Christian witch necklace. It's a whole thing.
That's another thing, Bethany.
What?
You're moving to the country. Are you going to get a Costco membership?
Kathleen?
Yeah.
You can't even predict how fast I'll get a Costco. You don't know how high I can fly when it comes to getting a Costco membership.
Well, maybe I can put you on my membership. This is how we're going to do it.
How are we going
to
do it?
Okay, so you're technically supposed to live in the same house as... So if you get a membership, you're allowed to have two people on it. But they have to live in the same household, okay?
Okay, well, you and I live in the same household as far as our love for each other.
Yes, exactly.
The same household of love.
Of love. So my mom and I obviously don't live in the same household,
no.
Even though I spend more time at her house than I do at mine.
Yeah.
So all I had to do was go onto her app, change the address to my address, and then I show up at Costco. You know, they're like, you need proof that you live at this address, blah, 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 whatever. And they didn't even ask for any of it. They were just like, oh, okay, I'll take your picture.
You know, God bless employees who have stopped caring.
I know.
Like, all places should pay their employees more.
Yeah.
Especially, like, it's service industry employees.
Yes.
the only upside for not paying them enough is that they don't care because they're not, literally not getting paid enough to care.
No.
You know?
I was in a 16 Handles. Oh, so good.
What's your ice cream.
What's your favorite flavor of 16 Handles?
It's been a long time since I've been to one, even though there's one right on my way home. I think it's like anytime they have a strawberry cheesecake, anything.
Oh, Bethany, they do. You need to go on your way home. They paired with that famous cheesecake place in New York, Junior's.
Ooh.
And so they have a strawberry cheesecake flavor at 16 Handles.
It's the best.
Anyway,
What's yours?
Oh, definitely the Euro tart, the plain.
What?
Yeah.
Euro tart?
That's what they call it. I'm not calling you a tart. I'm not like, you're a tart.
Euro tart. It's the ice cream that wears toe rings.
It's the plain froyo.
P-L-A-I-N.
Yes.
I thought it was like plain food. Like P-L-A-N-E. And then I was like, is it those Biscoff biscuits that Delta gives you?
No. And for a second there, I thought you were going to say plain food for people who live in the plains.
Like, this podcast is great today. The jokes keep coming.
The Amish, it's their favorite flavor of... anyway, no. It's just, you know, it's like the one that tastes like plain Greek yogurt.
Perfect.
Right? I was in a 16 Handles yesterday, and there were a bunch of, I want to say like 15 to 16 year old boys in there, like a pack of them.
Oh, gosh.
What do you call a pack of boys?
Well,
actually of boys. Did you just make that up?
No. Oh, no. She twittened on Twitter, said that, and it was very funny, and I use it.
And they were, instead of buying 16 Handles, they each were using they were balancing 10 different tasting cups on their hands, and they just kept going back for more. And the guy that worked there just did not give a shit.
Does not
care.
I've said this before. When I moved to New Jersey, when I first got here, I went and got my driver's license taken. Worst year of my life. Had to get a new photo taken. The guy was high and didn't care. And so he would take a photo, turn the computer around to let me look at how I looked.
Amazing.
I'd be like, a new one. And he would turn to me like, okay.
Yeah.
Took like six. Best photo I've ever had.
See, New Jersey isn't that bad after all.
No, it's certainly not. Especially when the employees are high and they don't give a crap.
What else is new for you in the country?
Well, we have to get used to animals.
Yes.
The small ones.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the big ones, like the deer. I'm excited, Kathleen, to start courting ravens.
Oh.
And like hopefully some crows or ravens will come.
I'm sure your landlord will love that.
Love that.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure my landlord lives in his garage on the property.
Oh, so he sounds like a guy that's right up your alley.
I think so.
You probably end up having a threesome with
probably.
You, yeah. You, him and Dennis.
Yeah. But I have to get used to the idea of insects.
Yes.
And this home is a split level, and I grew up in a split level, and my bedroom was in the basement of the split level growing up.
Okay.
And so every night I had to lift up my pillow
to
check for centipedes.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to have to get used to that again.
Yeah.
As our landlord apparently says, we are just renting the house from the mice.
I feel at this point in my life, you have rubbed off so severely on me.
Severely is a good word.
That I feel even bad killing insects.
Yeah.
Yep. Sometimes I have to when they're eating like an old tree that I don't want to die.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
But I need to run this by you. Sure. Am I a serial killer?
Okay.
Am I showing the signs?
Okay.
I was painting a door outside the other night at nighttime.
Okay.
And so I had, one of those like carpenter lights that you bring outside.
Sure.
So I was shining it at the door and it basically attracted all of the June bugs.
Yeah.
Which are, you know, tiny little beetles.
Yeah.
And I had a vacuum out there with me, a shop vac. And they were getting in the paint. And I started vacuuming up the June bugs.
So they're going to die a slow death inside the bag of the shop vac.
No, so the shop vac isn't really a bag. It's just a cylinder.
It's a canister. So they're going to die slowly inside the canister.
I probably should have let them free after.
I mean, look, I think the bigger issue is probably that you were painting at night, you know, because they really had no choice. It was like entrapment.
No, I am a serial killer.
I think they would view you definitely as a serial, more of a spree killer because it all happened at once.
I feel so bad.
Do you?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I actually do.
Yeah, I think you should. No, I think
I do.
I think, but what else were you to do? I think that I would have.
Yeah.
I think I mean, did you have to be painting at night?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to be painting at
night. I was on a deadline.
I would have probably...
Yeah.
Not that you asked for what I would have done.
Yeah, yeah. But tell me anyway.
Set up another light further away from me.
To attract them.
To maybe attract them over there. I don't know. I don't know.
A decoy light.
I'm not an entomologist.
I feel really... I'm going to go open that vacuum when I get home and then maybe...
It's probably a little late for that.
It was 2 days ago and...
Yeah, they're...
Sorry.
Is that them texting you?
No,
to
this
come
is
home?
Not. No, I'm getting a call from Lake Placid. I don't know anybody from Lake Placid. So,
oh, like the movie Lake Placid?
No. The place Lake Placid.
Oh, the place Lake Placid. Yeah, it's tough. But what are you going to do? At some point, like if they had been getting in the paint, they probably were going to die anyway.
Yeah. Man.
But it's tough. It's tough. It's tough.
Like ants, you know, people use... This is a tip for you living in the country. Baking soda.
Yeah.
Because it's a terrible death, but they crawl through the baking soda and it dries out their bodies.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, that's awful.
I know.
That's awful. Never, 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 never.
I know, but how else are you supposed to handle an ant infestation?
I don't know. I would say poison them so they die quickly.
Yeah.
I just am all about, like, if it has to die, make it
quick.
A quick death so it's not suffering.
No, you're right. You're
right.
You know?
Yeah. Quickly.
Yeah.
So, and so this is the happiest.
This got very dark.
It's the happiest podcast. Very,
like, okay, gnats. Do you have sympathy for gnats?
No.
Okay. So when I run my sticky, you know, my tape through the air to get rid of my, you know, I peel a piece of duct tape and then I throw it through the air like a ribbon thrower.
Does it work?
Yeah, sure it does.
I mean, and then do you like smash it so that they die?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like you just let them stick and like die slowly.
No.
Okay, yeah, smash them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, as long as you smash them. I did tell Dennis what we are going to do.
Yeah.
Is the next time we go to a vintage bookstore,
uh-huh.
we're going to get, just, you know, there's always books no one wants.
Yeah.
Like old law books.
Uh-huh.
That are big. We're just going to have like a collection of these old books.
Okay.
Not antique, but like stupid old no one wants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shake them out. Make sure there are no bed bugs in them.
Exactly.
Before you buy them.
And then we'll just have them out handy so that if there's like a beetle or something, we just throw it at the beetle so it smashes from afar and then throw that book away.
Like a 1950s guide to hypnotizing somebody.
No, that one you keep.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
one you keep.
No, I'm keeping that one forever.
For sure.
Yeah.
But if it's like, you know, I was walking down the street the other day and a university had just like all of these huge books out on the curb because they were out of date law library books or something. And like no one wanted them. They're going to go be pulped. I should have just taken a bunch of them.
Oh.
Because then after you kill the bug with it, you don't have to clean the book. You just throw the book away because no one wanted it and whatever.
Well, all the books that were around before Roe was passed, they're still valid. They're valid again now, rather.
Yeah, exactly. So keep those. But any of the current ones, got to throw it at the bug.
You know, my favorite types of books are the old ones, are handyman books.
Oh, my gosh.
Because times have changed in the world of tools so much that it is literally like an archaeological dig.
Oh, totally.
Opening those books and seeing how they used to repair stuff.
Like what hand tools, what smart levers that did they use to put in a screw back in the day?
I was watching old-timey sand casting. Mm. You know, like when you used to make like a metal cast of something.
Yeah.
You used to do it in this hard sand.
Yes, I've seen people do that.
Yes, and it's so relaxing to watch.
Because they have to like pound, pound, pound,
yes,
pound.
Yes, it's a special type of sand. And then whatever you want to make a mold of, you put it in the sand and you pound it. You pound it, pound it, pound it. You open up the two halves. You pour metal into each half. It's like something like that.
Yeah, totally.
And it is such an interesting process.
And then you like close the two halves. There's a hole at the top. You pour the metal in and like you see it flame.
Yes.
Like flames.
You could have a room in your country house just for this.
Kathleen, we are going to make everything out of metal.
You have to buy a kiln.
Obviously.
Yeah, you can start handcrafting tiles.
There's these two Norwegian people on YouTube that I follow every once in a while because they're both giant freaking nerds.
Yeah.
And they made, they rebound a Lord of the Rings book.
Of course they did.
In real leather with an old timey binding machine. But then they hand cast clasps that they made themselves like that were like leaves intertwining. And then they put an LED light in the eye of Sauron in the cover of the book. So when you open the book, the eye glows. Like,
I'm
like, these are the nerds. And they have this stuff. They have all this stuff in their garage where it's like they, you know, cast metal. They have a 3D printer. Yeah. They have a, you know, I don't know. They have a giant I don't know.
How much does a 3D printer cost?
Let's look.
Because I've been thinking about 3D printers, and I'll tell you why. I want to release a line of stylish fire extinguishers. Because, okay, it's an essential that everybody needs in their house.
Yeah.
And it's so dang ugly.
They are ugly. Right? I think that's for a reason, though, so you can find them easily.
Or, okay, maybe easier than 3D printing fire extinguishers. I could design a line of stickers that fit over popular brands of fire extinguishers. And so you could buy, like, your skull sticker.
Sure.
And you just wrap it around the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, and it's, like, sized correctly so it doesn't cover up any of the like necessary information that you need.
Yes, precisely.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
So it depends. This is updated October 1st, 2021. This is from fusion3design.com. If you want an entry level 3D printer, that's going to run you $100 to $500. That's not bad.
That's not terrible.
If it's a hobbyist, one, $400 to $1,500. If you are a 3D printing enthusiast, these are not very clear distinctions.
Yeah.
That's going to be about $1,000 to $4,000. If you want professional or performance 3D printers, $4,000 to $20,000.
Oh my God.
And then I think if you want like an industrial, I am creating products on a mass scale.
Yeah.
That is going to be $20,000 to $100,000.
This would be the first thing I bought after I won the lottery.
For sure. A 3D printer for an enterprising lady like yourself.
Industrial sized priced 3D printer.
You know what? I believe in you. I think you can do it.
Thank you.